Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray, when they saw a man who had been carried there for years, lame, crippled, and they recognized him. And it was easy to recognize them because in those days, the Israeli government required that a beggar had to wear a certain type of outer garment to identify them as a legal beggar. I wish we had that in America today. We don't, but I wish we did. So that people from afar could see that the beggar had a license. He was a licensed, legitimate beggar. He wasn't there trying to build up his drug habit or whatever. He was there legitimately because he had a need. And so they saw him. They no doubt recognized the color of his outer garment, which identified him as a beggar. And when they got near, Peter said, "Look on us." And no doubt the man reached out his hand as if to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Such as I have, I give unto you." The question is, what did he have? If I say I'm going to give something to you, you want to know what it is. "Such as I have, I give unto you." What did he have? Well, the first thing that Peter had was he had an experience. He had experienced Jesus on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He had been washing and mending his nets, but along came a man and a crowd. And the man said to him, "Lend me your boat." And Peter lent him his boat and allowed him to preach from it. And then afterwards, he said to Peter, "Launch out into the deep waters and let down your nets for a catch." And Peter, after some argument, obeyed and got into the boat, and Jesus got into the boat with him. And they got out to a certain part of the waters, and Peter let down his net, and suddenly something that had not happened the night before happened. Suddenly fish hit the net. The night before they had fished all night and taken nothing. Now suddenly his net was filled with fish, so much so that the net broke. It was a net-breaking, boat-sinking load of miracles. Peter had an experience with Jesus. I can remember coming home from school here in Lawrence and having an experience with God, with my father. I had run away from God. I was not interested in the Holy Spirit. I was not interested in anything having to do with Christianity because I had seen the way my father had been treated, especially by Christians, or at least by those who called themselves Christians. Well, there are a lot of people today masquerading as Christians who would not know Jesus if they met him coming down the road. And it had turned me off. Church had turned me off. I had turned away from the things of God. I wanted my own way. I wanted to be an entertainer. I wanted to be a professional golfer. I had a dream, my own dream for my own life. But when I got home, I got sick. And my father came in to pray for me. And when he did, suddenly he began to prophesy. And he prophesied my future. He prophesied the healing ministry in my life. And suddenly I got a glimpse of what God really wanted me to do. And I gave my heart to the Lord that night, and that later that evening I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the rest, as they say, it is history. You know the rest of the story. And I had an experience, and that experience propelled me into what I'm doing now, all these many years later. Let me ask you a question. Have you had experience with God? You just know about him, or do you know him? Do you just carry your Bible, or is that word of God on the inside of you? So that when the devil comes, you don't have time to say, "Time out, devil. Let me find my Bible. I'm sure it's here somewhere. I saw it a month or two ago." Is it inside you? Have you sown the word of God inside your heart, or is it just words on the page? I'd had an experience with God, and all these years later, as the word of knowledge, as the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of healing, and other things began to flow through my life, it's because I had an experience with the one who created those things. Have you had an experience with God? Right here in Dodge City, right here in this church, are you having an experience with God? It's one thing to come to church. It's another thing to be a part of it. It's nothing for not for, for you to be in the church, but for the church to be in you. You to be full of the Spirit. So when you go out there, where people are crying and dying and sighing and going to hell in a handbasket, are you ministering to those out there? You know, the devil doesn't care that you come here. He doesn't care how you sing, how you dance, how you swing. If you had chandeliers, you swing from them. He doesn't care. He didn't care about that. Over as long as you leave out, as long as you leave out God's power, as long as you leave out your witness, as long as you leave out your experience. Peter had an experience. That's what he had. He had something more than he had an experience. He had a relationship. He had a relationship with Jesus. Those 3 years that he traveled with him, he had seen him heal the sick. He had seen him raise the dead. He had seen him cast out devils with his voice. He'd seen him multiply loaves and fishes. He'd seen him even tell him to go down to the shore and go fishing again, being a fisherman, and to take money out of a fish's mouth. He had seen him raise Lazarus up, who he had known probably for years. He had seen those miracles, and it caused a relationship. And one day when Jesus said to him, who do you say that I am? I know men say these things, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. He had a relationship with him. Jesus said to him, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this. And on this rock of revelation, that you know who I am, that you have a relationship with me, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the gates of hell are not prevailing today. The church is alive and well. I know there are a lot of churches that are sick, but I'm not in one today. A lot of churches don't have any power of God, but I'm not in one of those today. A lot of those churches don't have any miracles, but I'm not in one like that today. He had an experience. He had a relationship. He knew who Jesus was. Jesus knew who he was, and Jesus was inside of him. Do you have a relationship? That relationship that began in my life that night in October of 1968, when I was 19 years of age, that relationship began to grow, and it's stronger today than it was then. He's in me. I have a relationship. We're on a first name basis. He's Jesus. He's my Savior and my Lord, and I'm redeemed because of him. I have a relationship. But Peter had something more than that. He has something more than an experience. He has something more than a relationship. He had a name. He had a name. Jesus gathered his disciples together and said, up until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Now, they had seen him ask. They had heard him cry, Abba, Father. They'd seen him use the name, but they'd never used the name. He said, ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. He transferred the right to use his name. The Bible says God has given him a name which is above every name named in heaven and earth. And at that name, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Peter had the right to use the name. Did you know you have the right to use the name? And when you use the name, the demonic forces begin to pack their bags and leave town. You have the name. You have a name which is above every name named in heaven and earth. Peter had the name, but he had something else beyond that. He had the authority to use it. He had the authority. Jesus said to his disciples, behold, I give you power, I give you authority, I give you dominion. I give you dominion. Behold, I give you power, I give you authority, I give you dominion to take dominion over those things. I was telling Pastor this morning, I remember back in the 70s, my dad and my mother took a trip up to Wyoming to take a few days off, and we had a partner up there who had a beautiful home, and they stayed with them, and they went fishing, trout fishing up in Wyoming, up in the mountains, about 7,000 feet above sea level. And they were in the boat with this partner, and the partner was rowing, and my mother and dad were on one side. He was on one side. She was on the other side. They were fishing. And my mother was just catching them. Just as soon as she pulled one in, she caught another one. And as soon as she pulled that one in, she caught another one. My dad was catching nothing. And he turned in exasperation and said, "Evelyn, what are you doing?" And she said, "Oral, I'm taking dominion over the fish." My dad got so angry. He didn't say anything. They asked Oral Roberts once, you know, "When you hit a bad golf shot, do you ever curse?" He said, "No, I don't curse, but wherever I spit, the grass dies." He got so upset. All of a sudden, though, he caught a fish. And as soon as he got that one in, he caught another fish. And as soon as he got that one in, he caught another fish. And my mother said, "Oral, what are you doing?" He said, "Evelyn, I'm taking dominion." He's given you authority. You don't have to look to someone else. You've got the authority. "Well, I'm not one of the 12. I'm not one of the disciples." You're right. I took a look at you. I know you're not. And neither am I, but I'm one of his modern day disciples. John tells us that if we continue in his word, then we are his disciples. I got news. Peter's not here. He's dead. So is James, and so is John, and so is Paul and the others. We are his disciples today, and we have the same authority. Take authority. We have the ability to take the authority. We have the ability to say, "Devil, get the hell out of here."
Yes, yes, yes.
We can command him in Jesus' name. Turn loose of God's property. Let loose of my family. Let loose of my body. Let loose of this and that and whatever in my life. You don't have a right to come in. He comes in because we don't take the authority. We have authority, and we've got to learn how to use it. And we've got to know how to use it in the Spirit. He had an experience. He had a relationship. He had a name, and he had the authority to use it. When the gifts of the Spirit began flowing in me, I realized I had the authority to call out sickness and disease by name and command it in the name of Jesus to come out. And it would come out every time. Praise God. And it's going to come out this morning. Hallelujah. Peter had an experience. He had a relationship. He had the name, and he had the authority to use it. He said, "Such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And took him by the hand. And when he did, suddenly, as he began to lift him, the healing power of God came into his feet and legs, up his torso, into his whole body. The man leaped to his feet, healed by the power of God, went in to the temple and worshiped God. The Bible says that the people were astounded. They were amazed. A great crowd was gathered there at that time. Peter preached to them. The religious leaders got mad. Always, there's always someone's going to rain on your parade. There's always someone who's going to tell you it doesn't work. There's always someone who will tell you you're full of it. Well, that's a compliment, depending on what you're full of. Depending on what you're full of. If you're full of the Spirit, that's a compliment. And they said, "Don't you preach or teach in that name again." Peter said, "Whether it's right to listen to you or listen to God, you be the judge, but we can't help but speak of the things which we have seen and heard," because he had an experience. He had a relationship. He had the name of Jesus. And he had the authority.